Welcome back to a super fantasy football show. I'm John, your host. I'm feeling pretty good. Pretty good about this past week. Had a pretty solid football weekend. Between the Knits, getting to see Kenny Pickett, and then the Fonts going off. It's a pretty good week. We'll talk about it and hopefully deflate my ego a little bit. We are 4 weeks through 13 total in the regular season, and things are getting really interesting. It's a completely packed episode, so we're just going to get right into it with this week's guest, the manager of the three-time Super Friend Championship team, owner of the Running Fools, Brian Flaherty. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on the pod there, bud. Well, appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us, bud. How are things going out there? Give us a life update for Brian Flaherty.
Well, first of all, big fan of the podcast. Bigger fan of you in general. Things out in San Diego are going swell. Can't get any better, really. So
love that.
No complaints.
Awesome. What's the weather like in October in San Diego?
70 and sunny. God, all the time.
What a place. That's incredible.
it's so old.
It gets old.
No, not really.
Okay. Yeah. Don't lie. Awesome. Well, good. Glad to hear you're doing well. Let's get into it because we do have a pretty packed schedule today. First up, if your fantasy persona was an NFL figure, who or what would you be?
Oh boy, so this one was kind of tricky for me. I took a lot of thought into this, and I remember David did a pretty good comparison of my fantasy team back in the day. But for the life of me, I just could not remember who it was. So kept thinking, and I was trying to think of a team that had like a lot of success, like you hinted at. I had the three-peat when I first came into the league, which is pretty big, but since then I've kind of slumped. So I was trying to think of like kind of like the Patriots in their recent reign of terror with Tom Brady, but they've recently gone through some personnel changes, and they're kind of in a bit of a slump right now. So I was kind of thinking about them. I was also kind of comparing myself to the good old Steelers and the age of the three Bs, Ben, Brown, and Bell, because it seemed like they had the talent then, but never really did anything with it, which is kind of how I feel right now. I feel like I got a pretty stacked lineup, but just keep losing, especially the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, those are two good comparisons. And I did think of the Patriots, too, because of your championship success. And the Steelers actually are making sense, too. Like you mentioned, the triple Bs. Your team on paper the past 2 years even has looked amazing. And last year they were really good. I think you were, top one or two scoring, but just couldn't squeak into the playoffs.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was – last year was the weirdest year, I think. But who knows? This one's pretty awkward, like too.
That's what I was going to say. This one's getting pretty weird itself.
Yeah. Well, let's get started going through our crazy league. So, first off, I was – Nostra freaking Domus last week with my picks. I went 4-0, absolutely aced them, and I'm really thrilled because I was getting nervous that I was just like going to be terrible at this all year because I'd only gotten one pick right each of the previous 3 weeks, and then thank God last week I nailed it 4-0. It was a great feeling.
Stepping it up.
Yeah.
Love it.
And meanwhile, the past two guests haven't gotten a single game correct. They're 0-7-1 thanks to Tom and Randy's fucking tie, but anyway, all right, let's get into some of the games. We'll start with your game first, the 1-2 Run Fools versus Mr. 500, 1-1-1 Denny Irvine's Gatorade. Give us the breakdown, Bri. What happened in that game?
Oh man, well, unfortunately, we took another loss, and I'm sure a lot of people were wondering, you know, looking at my lineup, why was Justin Jefferson on the bench? Why was Joe Mixon on the bench? That's essentially one of my keepers and my first round pick, just leaving them on the bench this week. So I'm sure some people were wondering about that. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a combination of just being frustrated at the poor performance of my top players. So I wanted to try and prove a point there. Sure. I know I don't have any control over their actual ability, but felt good to me at least.
I like that attitude though. I think it makes sense.
You gotta make it real.
Yeah.
You gotta make it feel real.
Exactly.
So I benched them. I also really didn't like their lineups, the matchups. Jefferson was struggling with the lockdown corners, and he had Marshawn Lattimore this week, and he's one of the big lockdown guys. So I thought, oh, maybe he'll struggle again. Plus, a lot of my receivers, like Cortland Sutton, Michael Pittman, they've been putting up good numbers and consistently, like 12, 13 points. And I thought, you know what, if I can get 13 points automatically, I'll take it instead of the abysmal 4 points from Justin Jefferson. So that's kind of the thought process behind that one. Mm-hmm. Clearly didn't work out for me, but I think, I think the first few weeks, you're just kind of trying to get your bearings, get your feet under you, kind of figure out who's who and who's going to show up this season. So I think I kind of got a good grasp on the team now. I think I know who's going to show up. I mean, I got to understand that some weeks the stars aren't going to show up. So, mm-hmm. It is what it is, but I think I've got a good handle on the team now. And I think the managerial mistakes in the last couple of weeks are going to kind of go away, and hopefully that'll help out in the team, get some wins here. So I'll take the blame on the 1-3 record right now, for sure. Managerial mistakes, coaching errors.
All right, taking it on the chin. Well, I think the good news is you opened up with the 140-point victory against my Olifants. Obviously, since then, the three losses really hurts, and it's got to be particularly frustrating given your lineup because it does look so good on paper. But what has been going on the past three weeks for you? Where have the struggles been?
I got the name of the running fools, and the running backs just aren't really showing up. I got, Christian McCaffrey's doing his thing. I think he's like number 7 running back right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not as typical Christian McCaffrey stuff, but I think Baker Mayfield's going to figure it out that he needs to stop trying to be a superhero and dump the ball off to CMC sometimes,
Right.
I mean, he got 10 catches this week, I think, and they finally got a win. So hopefully that kind of resonates with good old Baker, gets the job done moving forward. But yeah, other than that, the running backs, man, they just haven't been doing what they're supposed to do. It's just been unfortunate, and I hope they pick it up, but we'll see. I think Najee and Mixon both got some pretty new offensive linemen in there, especially the Bungles there. Mm-hmm. I think they're getting a little bit better. So I especially noticed Najee getting a little more separation at the line. So hopefully they improve throughout the season. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then just to go through the running backs who have touched your roster so far this year, you had Najee, Derrick Henry, and Christian McCaffrey as your keepers, I believe. Were those the three?
Yep, that was them.
And then we had Joe Mixon, Javonte Williams, who's now out with ACL and LCL, which I'd never heard of. They keep making up new CLs that I've got to keep track of.
Seriously.
And then Tony Pollard, did I say him yet?
No, but yeah, he's on there.
Tony Pollard as well. So with all of those running backs, what was your draft strategy? Were you hoping you could like get a monopoly so that you could like trade some of these guys away for receivers, or what were you thinking?
So it definitely wasn't my plan going in to have that many running backs, but I did want to have at least 3 solid running backs, which I had keepers, and I wanted to have like another one for bye weeks and also injuries, just based on. Last couple seasons, I got plagued with injuries, Christian McCaffrey getting hurt a lot, and Derrick Henry. So I wanted to have some people on my bench to fill in for injuries and bye weeks and all that stuff. So I did want to have a good bit of running backs, but definitely didn't expect to get that many. I think when the draft started, there were just some names there. Like, I really wanted Javonte, but I wasn't really planning on getting him, but he just dropped to a spot where I just, I was in the heat of the moment, and I just couldn't pass him up.
Right.
Just felt had to take him. It was more of a talent thing. Felt like the talent was there for him rather than whatever receivers were there at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all enticing names, so I definitely get it. Haven't all panned out so far, and it looks like Javonte Williams will not pan out this year. But there's still hope for Tony Pollard, and Joe Mixon, I'm sure, is going to pick it up. And hopefully Najee, too, for the Steelers' sake.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think they'll step it up. I hope Dallas figures it out that Zeke's just a fat loser now, and they move on. But we'll see.
Yeah, get that old body out of there. And then on the bright side of things, obviously Christian McCaffrey is the bright side. He's been having a very solid season. Maybe not, mind blowing numbers, but very, very good numbers for sure. But Jalen Hurts has been having a breakout year, and you don't really tend to value quarterbacks very highly in fantasy. So you didn't draft Hurst until the fourth round, and you were the second last team to draft a quarterback. So tell me what went into that choice, and were you expecting Hurst to have this kind of breakout year?
You can always expect to get some big fantasy point games from running quarterbacks, which is kind of what I was thinking there.
Mm-hmm.
I actually made a list. I think I don't remember what the list was, but at the beginning of the season, there was 8 quarterbacks. I made a list, and it seemed like every name on that list of 8 quarterbacks was pretty solid. So that's kind of why I didn't focus on it. I kind of waited for everyone to take one, and I just figured I'd get like the 7th or 8th quarterback off the board, and I'd be pretty happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that strategy's kind of worked out for me so far. One thing about Jalen Hurts, I guess, this year, I've watched a couple of his games. He's throwing the ball a lot better than I thought he would, which is really promising.
Yeah.
I like to see that.
Yeah, he's looked very solid. Is he still moving with his legs a lot more, or since he's having success throwing, have they been keeping him more in the pocket?
I think he's running a little bit less than last year. I think Josh Allen and Lamar are still running a lot more than he is. Maybe not a lot more, but a good bit more. I think a lot of his running is more closer to the goal line because he's got those big freaking legs. I think he squats more than Saquon, which is pretty crazy.
Damn.
Yeah, he's got some big thighs. So when he gets to the goal line, he's pretty good at running in there. Unfortunately, last week he had a little bit of a down week. I think Sanders snagged a couple rushing touchdowns there, which I think Jalen usually gets a couple or at least one. So I'm not too worried about that. I think they'll come with time. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully he can keep that up. He's having a heck of a year. And then as far as the running fools go, you've talked a little bit about, kind of just, and this is the struggle of every manager, figuring out who exactly to put in the lineup, especially in this league, only 8 teams. Every team has at least probably one semi-star or someone who would be a starter on their bench. So obviously that's part of it. So is that the main issue you think going forward? Do you think you're going to have to make any kind of moves to get out of this rut?
I'm not really looking to make too many moves right now. Like I said, it's early in the season. Like the first 3 weeks is when you really got to figure out who's going to show up. That's when it's hard. You know, you draft players, you think they're going to do something, but then they just don't.
Mm-hmm.
And other players, maybe you just thought you were going to have on your bench or stepping up a little bit. So you kind of got to figure that out in the first 2 or 3 weeks. And I think we're at a good spot. I think I kind of know who I'm going to start pretty much every week now, regardless of matchups. So, yeah, we'll see. I think we're going to catch lightning here pretty soon.
All right. Right on. Looking forward to it. And lastly, is next week's game against the Real Americans a must win for the Burning Fools?
When is our trade deadline? Do you remember?
I want to say
that'll kind of help me answer the question.
I want to say it's like October 23rd ish. I don't know if I have that right.
Yeah, so I guess 1-3. I think it's around week 8. If I go 1-4, that'd be a steep climb. I'm gonna go ahead and say it is a must win, especially because of the matchup.
Mm-hmm.
The Real Americans, you know, I'm gonna call them the fake Americans. They're not real. I don't believe.
Oh, thank God! Thank God. All right, cool. Well, yeah, pull out the victory. He's been winning way too much already this year, so let's go run fools. All right, I'll quickly run through what happened elsewhere in the league. I jotted some notes down. You can chime in if you feel like it. But
sounds good.
First up, we had the 2-1 One Faced Wonders versus the 2-0-1 Real Americans. The Wonders are starting to look pretty scary, I think. They had a very solid point total this week, and they had J.K. Dobbins on the bench. I think it was his second game of the year.
Yeah.
And he had a very solid game, obviously, on the bench. But if he can keep that up, and then DeAndre Hopkins coming back in a week or two, I guess 2 weeks, that could be a pretty huge influx of points for David that he's adding on. Could be pretty dangerous for the rest of the league.
He's trying to take over my running fool's name, I think. I mean, he's got some pretty solid running backs in here. Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs, both playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. J.K. Dobbins looks like he's really going to turn on. And he's got Travis Etienne on the bench, and I think he's going to I would imagine he's going to take a bigger role throughout the season. I would think at least. James Robinson's been absolutely tearing it up, but I don't know. They drafted Travis for a reason. You got to think they're going to transition at some point.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, J.K. Dobbins, I think, will be really interesting to watch as the year moves on too. And then on the other side of that game, Randy, I feel like he's still having a frustratingly decent team, but at least he lost this week. So his first loss since week 13 of 2021.
So, you know, the CEH is the most mind-boggling of running backs right now. Mm-hmm. And James Robinson, I guess. They're just putting up crazy numbers. I think James Robinson's like the number three running back. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah.
And CEH, I mean, I think he has like six touchdowns already this year.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's at all these. I don't think that can continue.
Yeah, the one fantasy podcast I listen to keeps swearing that he's going to taper off, but he hasn't so far. But
guess time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Let's see. Yeah, and also, speaking of Randy, with Javonte Williams going down, he has Melvin Gordon on his bench. So again, annoyingly, he might become a moderately valuable player for the Real Americans.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty disappointing to see. Obviously, to see Javonte go down for me, but then when I noticed that Melvin Gordon was on the Real Americans or the fake Americans, I was pretty bummed.
Yeah, pretty frustrating. All right, and then next up, the 1-2 Iron City Olifants versus the 0-3 Power and Vitality. Power and Vitality was fighting for their lives after starting 0-3 on the year, and they put up the second highest point total this week, a whopping 130 points. Unfortunately, they just so happened to go against the team with the first highest point total this week. Really, really solid performance out of them, though. But once again, I feel like the story of the year for his team as well is a lack of running back production. Only 2.5 points out of John Taylor and 9 points out of Dalvin Cook this week. That's unacceptable.
Pretty crazy, man. I guess the only thing I'd like to add to that is I think I told all y'all, Jonathan Taylor was not a lock for the number one pick. I put it in the Discord. I said it out loud. Jonathan Taylor was not a lock for the number one pick. I don't know why everyone was hyping him up like he was going to be the second coming or something, but I'm glad to see that I was right on that one.
Yeah, you absolutely aced that one. And I don't know. I don't watch a ton of Colts football, but from what I've seen, the highlights and from what I've read and listened to, it doesn't seem like things are going to get that much better over there for him. The team just overall just does not look good, and that's not going to be helpful for him.
No, it's never good when your team's always behind as a running back.
Yeah. And then on for the Olifants, I was a little worried going into the week, obviously, with some key injuries to my two Lion stars. But another Lion, Jamal Williams, stepped up huge in the place of DeAndre Swift. So thank God for him. And welcome to the league, Austin Eckler. Holy cow. 31-point performance, finally. Could not have come at a better time. That was awesome to see.
That was pretty crazy. I mean, your team just looks like a force to be reckoned with right now. I mean, tough last week with I think you had like the least amount of points or something, or close to it at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then just bounce back with an absolute beast of a performance. Tyreek Hill really didn't think he was going to do things this year, like he has been at least. I didn't really believe in Tua. And then Tua goes down. I haven't really heard much about his concussion or whatnot with on the latest on that. But then Teddy comes in and he seemed to be slinging at the hill as well, really peppering him with targets. So that was a surprising win for you, I thought, at least from my end.
Yeah, I was obviously crossing my fingers that it would work out, but I was not confident in that. I knew that was definitely a bit of a gamble. And then, yeah.
He was a keeper for you, right?
He was a keeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, risky.
Solid.
And then, yeah, with Teddy Bridgewater, I feel like he's one of the best backup quarterbacks ever. Seems like every time he comes in, he does absolutely fine. And that's all you can ask from a backup. So hopefully that can keep
up. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a huge win for the Fonts. That was my second 150-plus point game this year. And I hadn't had one. I went back. I did the stats for everyone. I hadn't had one since week 11 of 2018.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about the Fonts this year.
You're on a roll, man. Hopefully you can keep it up.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty crazy that Jamal Williams got that many points as well. I mean, I guess getting anyone on Detroit right now, they're just putting up points. So yeah. Anyone on that team is just going to collect. What did they have, like 48 points in that game?
Yeah, I something massive. I think I saw they have the most points through 4 weeks of any team in the NFL.
Crazy.
Like ever?
Never would have expected that from Detroit.
I know. They're a fun team. I tell you what, I've told some people here, I think they're the team I'm rooting for this year, although them and the Steelers, and they're both 1-3, so maybe I should hop off the bandwagons a bit.
What's your faith in DeAndre Swift? I want to get your take on that. He was on my draft board, actually. I was between him and Mixon for my first pick.
So my thought process there was I saw a TikTok that said there were like a few like characteristics of each the top fantasy running back each year. So each top scoring running back was like under 25, hadn't won the award before, and I don't remember the things anymore. And there were like four or five names that were on there. It was Najee, Saquon, DeAndre Swift, and Javonte Williams. So that was really what gave me the courage to draft DeAndre Swift, because I hadn't heard of the man before that TikTok, and I would have just seen he's on Detroit and immediately passed him up. So that was Fair. The logic that went into DeAndre Swift. So I'm crossing my fingers he can keep it up, but who the hell
knows? he's been looking pretty good. Big regrets over here taking Mixon so far. So if you want to make a trade, I'll give you Mixon for him if you want.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. He's coming back in a couple weeks, so we'll talk about it. And then next up, we have the 2-1 soup cans versus the 2-1 technical fouls. And Chez promised the biggest point differential of all the games this week. And he was right. Unfortunately, it was the Techs on the wrong end of the blowout, a 46-point loss to the soup cans. Chez had Brady, Saquon, and Evan McPherson, his kicker, as the only players on his team to crack double digits. It's not great. It's not great.
And Tom Brady having his best game of the season, too.
I know. Finally. Maybe that'll turn things around for him, because he has been absolutely terrible so far.
Maybe the divorce is almost a lock now, so maybe it's out of his head. He's going to move on.
Right. Yeah, he can get that out in the past and start slinging the football a little bit better. And then, yeah, meanwhile, the soup cans, I don't know. I didn't think they were going to be good, but they just keep putting up winning numbers. So, you know, credit to them. They kicked some absolute ass, and now they're tied with the One-Face Wonders in first place at 3-1. So, pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what's going on with soup cans. I'd like to say there's a great manager over there, because, I mean, he didn't have any keepers, and he put together quite the squad, but then at the same time, he didn't keep his keepers, so it's kind of hard to say he's a good manager.
Right.
Kind of a contradiction there, but, I mean, he's getting together. He had a heck of a draft. He's looking pretty solid.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. All right, well, those were last week's games. We'll get into our next segment here. I'm rebranding this one a little bit. We're doing the fair take or overreaction, but instead of fair take, we're going to call it the Bob Costas, and instead of an overreaction, we're going to call it a Skip Bayless. So rated on a scale of Bob Costas to Skip Bayless with, you know, 2 through 9 in between. I don't know. Bob Costas just seemed like the most reasonable person I could think of in the sports world. But we'll see. We'll see. All right. First up, we'll do for Power and Vitality. They're absolutely toast. They should hang it up. Start dealing away the gems for draft picks. Don't even think about the postseason, because your goose is cooked.
Oh, man. So overreaction is Skip, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the matchup this week first.
Check it out.
See if he has a chance to win. He's got the Cincinnati soup cans. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give that a... I'm going to give that a... A 7 on the scale. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction.
Okay.
But I mean, if he loses this week, he I'd say it's good as done. 0-4. I don't know that you can come back from that. So I'd say he has to win this week. Got to beat the Soup Cans. It's or not the Soup Cans. The yeah, it's the Soup Cans.
Yeah, Soup Cans.
Got to beat the Soup Cans. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. Eric's got a pretty good squad here. I mean, you look at the team, looks good, head top to bottom. So I think they're going to turn it around. Like you said, they had the second most points this week. So maybe they can push that over to next week and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I think I give that one maybe like a 4. I think it's a little closer to Bob Costas on that scale. I don't know. I feel like they need to win like their next 3 games. If they lose one of the next 3, I think they're absolutely done.
They're only 2 games back though, I think. Or what? Like 2.5 maybe, I guess, with the tie.
Let's see. I have the standings here. Yeah, they're 2.5.
It's not terrible.
So yeah, one week at a time, Eric. Let's see if you can get things going. And then next up, we'll move over to Denny Irvine's Gatorade. They absolutely fleeced you in the Henry for Justin Jefferson trade.
Wait, say that again.
They absolutely fleeced you in the Derrick Henry for Justin Jefferson trade. They pulled one over on you.
Yeah. So I was actually talking to Tommy about this.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, because I was a little frustrated with Justin Jefferson. I think it was before Justin Jefferson played, I saw Derrick Henry put up like 22 points, and I was like, everyone better shut up about this trade and how I made out like a bandit somehow, giving you Derrick Henry, one of the best running backs in the league. So yeah, I think I still think it was pretty even. I think Justin Jefferson's going to turn it around. So I'm gonna put it right at a 5. I think it was an even trade.
Yeah, I think I'd put it right around there too. Yeah, everything you said, the more now that Derrick Henry's actually producing, and Justin Jefferson, I think he had a really good week this past week, with a couple of bad weeks before that, but I think for sure he'll be able to pick it up a bit. And then next up, we have the technical fouls. This one is a little bit of speculation, so he told me that you offered him Christian McCaffrey for Saquon straight up. Is he going to regret turning that trade down?
That's a Bob Costas. He absolutely is.
Well, you think so? Not a Saquon believer yet.
I mean, I'll always love Saquon to the death, but I mean, it's Christian McCaffrey. I think he's going to turn around. Like I said, I think Baker's going to get his head out of his ass and stop trying to sling the ball like he's freaking Tom Brady or someone actually good at being quarterback. So he's going to start dumping it off, and that's where CMC gets all of his points. You know, he catches the ball, and then you get that guy in open space, and he's gonna make things happen. So I think CMC is going to be getting on a roll here pretty soon. And yeah, I don't know. I just think they might start loading the box there in New York again with who the heck's that quarterback there?
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he sucks.
The deep product.
They try and get him to – other teams force him to start throwing. Things are going to not go well for Saquon, unfortunately, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that trade, if you could have a crystal ball and see who was going to get injured first, I think that would be super helpful. I think that's who would end up winning that trade, whoever had their
both very injury-prone for sure.
Yeah. All right, next up, the Real Americans are good enough to make the playoffs this year.
The Real Americans are good enough to make the playoffs. I'll give that like a 3 or 4. I mean, I think any team can make the playoffs. I think any team can get in, unfortunately. I mean,
come on.
They proved it last year, and more so, Chez proved it last year. What, do you have like the least amount of points or something last year and got in the playoffs somehow? So
yep.
If there's a will, there's a way. So I wouldn't say it's too much of an overreaction to get in. Anyone can get in.
I'm giving that one to Skip Bayless because I can't sleep at night thinking that the Real Americans could make it into the playoffs this year. They're just absolutely terrible. I hate that team.
I mean, they just got Melvin Gordon stepping up now. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I hate to say Butterfingers, it, Gordon. Doesn't Melvin Gordon have like 4 fumbles this year already?
Does he? I did not know that.
Yeah, like some Butterfingers over there.
And he's definitely getting old, so I don't know. I don't know who their third string is. I don't know who they're planning on spelling him with, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, next up, the Running Fools will finish in the bottom half of starting fantasy running back points.
Bottom half in points. Well, I'm there right now, but...
For running backs, though.
Oh, just for running backs.
Just for running backs.
Bottom half in running back points. Wow. Oh, man, I might start playing three receivers, so that could be realistic. But, you know what? Bottom half, I'm gonna give that a skip. I'm gonna step it up. Like I said, CMC, he's gonna stay healthy. He's gonna start moving the ball. I think the offensive line for the Bengals is starting to mesh. I think it's gonna really help Mixon. And I don't know, maybe all those Pitt fans out there are right, and Kenny Pickett's the answer, and that'll open things up for my boy Najee. So I think that's a big skip.
All right. Yeah, I'd probably put that one in like a, I don't know, 7 or 8 right now. I wouldn't go full skip, but it's definitely far-fetched. Next up, the One-Faced Wonders are the most dangerous team moving forward.
One-Faced Wonders, they are pretty dangerous. I'll give that like a 2.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I'm going to give that a Bob Costas because I haven't done it yet. I don't think. Maybe I did.
I like it.
One-Faced Wonders are sneaky. For sure.
I think I'll join you on the Bob Costas train, especially with who's that Cardinals wide receiver, Hopkins.
Yeah.
Him coming back, I think he's going to be pretty huge. So.
Yeah, the teams look pretty solid.
Yep.
Did they ever say what happened to Justin Herbert? Like how many ribs he broke in that game? and how he played again?
No. Yeah, I keep... I have no idea how he keeps playing with broken ribs. It seems like the worst thing you could possibly do.
It's terrible.
Because you can't even like put a cast on them. So if they break more, it just goes like inside of your organs, I guess. I don't know.
Wearing a bulletproof vest out there.
Yeah. They don't seem too concerned about it. So good on them.
Wild.
Yeah. The next up, the Iron City Olifants will finish as the highest scoring team in the league.
That's I guess that's another Bob Costas. I think they are for sure.
Let's go.
So far, so good for the Olifants. They're trampling teams.
I'm gonna give that one a 5 because anytime I get confident in fantasy, I start to feel nervous. So I'm gonna keep myself in check here.
Yeah, don't jinx yourself with that injury bug.
Yeah, seriously. And then finally, the Cincinnati Soup Cans are playoff bound. Guaranteed a lock for the playoffs.
The Soup Cans, man. That team's like another sneaky one. I look at the team. Let me look at it again. Like I always look at their team because I'm curious.
Check them out.
A lock for the playoffs. Who they got? I mean, they got Lamar Jackson. That's pretty solid. Nick Chubb. I've always loved Nick Chubb. I think if Kareem Hunt wasn't there, he'd even be putting up bigger numbers, which is crazy because he's putting up great numbers already.
Mm-hmm.
Debo's pretty sneaky good. Man, the rest of the team.
T. Higgins really... having a great year.
He is, shockingly, with all the receivers on that team.
Yeah.
Freaking Rashad Penny had a huge game, too. I don't know. I don't see, like, you know, it's not getting me hard, the team. I'll say that. But they're getting it done.
They're getting it done.
What was the question again?
They're a lock for the playoffs this year.
Are they a lock for the playoffs? I'll give it a 4. I think they will make the playoffs, but I'm not like super confident about it.
All right. I think I'm gonna give that one an 8.
Wow. No faith.
He just had a kid. He just moved into a new house. He has adjusted his lineup, but he hasn't made any waiver wire moves. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see which manager Matt we get. If he can stay active and keep paying attention, which he has every reason not to because he has real adult responsibilities, then he might make it in to this fake fantasy football playoff. But we'll see. All right. Well, those are all the reactions or all the hot takes we had. So let's get in to some predictions. And I'm going to try to keep the pick streak alive, and hopefully you can end the guest winless streak.
I would hope so.
That'd be great.
Sounds like I don't have much to compete with, but what's the record so far? One guest is the biggest, the most, correct?
Let's see. Eric got two right. Eric went two for two.
Tom was
0-3-1, and Chez 0-4. So, and I'm now 7-8-1 on the year, so almost 500.
Improving.
Yep. All right. Okay, where do we go? First up, we'll start with for Power and Vitality versus the Soup Cans. I'll let you give your prediction first.
Let's see. That's a pretty close one. 109 to 106 ESPN prediction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with... Man, this is a tough one. I'm going to go with Eric's squad. I think he's going to pull on a win. He needs it. He needs it more than ever, so I think he's going to get it. He's right. Finally going to pull through.
So I also was having trouble with this one. I think the matchups for the Soup Cans just look a little bit more promising. And again, we talked about the issues with John Taylor. I think I saw he's having like an ankle issue too. So that's not going to be great. They're going up against the third best running defense in the league. So that's not a promising way to get him going. I agree. I think it's going to be close, but I'm going with the Soup Cans in that one. So we'll see how that turns out. And then next up, we'll go to Denny Irvine's
Gatorade
versus the Iron City Oliphants. You already know who I'm picking. Brian, you take it away.
I think this is you look at the matchup on paper, it definitely looks like it'll be close, but I'm going to go with the Iron City Oliphants.
Let's go.
They're trampling teams right now, so Denny better watch out.
You better watch out. Jamal Williams, thank God for him. He's eased the pain of losing DeAndre Swift for a couple weeks. Austin Eckler looking like Austin Eckler again. Hopefully that he sticks around. Devontae Adams has been too good the past couple of weeks for the Gatorades, and I feel like the Raiders are just going to fuck this week up, so I don't think he's going to have a good week. So you already know I'm taking the Fonts in that one too. And then next up, we got the Technical Fouls versus the One-Faced Wonders. What do you think, Brian?
So the Technical Fouls are actually favored in this, shockingly enough. I mean, it's only by 0.2 points, looks like, from what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna go with the One-Faced Wonders. I think they're going to take them down. I think Tom Brady will be the big wild card now that the divorce is out in the news. We'll see how he takes that and see if he can do anything with it. But I think the One-Faced Wonders are going to take this one. Justin Herbert, broken ribs and all, gets it done.
All right, I like it. The only thing I had written down for this one was, if having the most tight ends could win you a championship, then the Technical Fouls would be the 96 Bulls. What the hell is he doing? Three tight ends?
Unheard of. Most teams have two. I say sometimes they only have one.
Mm-hmm.
Three is unheard of.
It's like, if you had, I don't know, Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz, you might want to put one in the flex every once in a while, but
yeah,
he doesn't even do that. But you know what? The kid just loves Penn State. I respect it. He has Saquon. He's got Gesicki. He's got Freiermuth. If we can get Jesse James on there.
Yeah, really. Where's Jesse James these days?
I don't know. He was with the Lions a couple years ago. I don't know that he's on a team anymore.
And like the tight ends he has on his bench, just like Gesicki's just not doing much this year.
Right.
Freiermuth looks like a favorite target, but now they got Pickett in there. Who knows? He's gonna probably target what the heck's the guy's name? George.
Pickens, yeah.
Yeah. It seems like he's his favorite target, so I don't know. Interesting strategy. We'll see how it works out for him.
Yeah. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out tomorrow, he'll have dropped one or two of those guys and pick someone else up in the waiver wire.
Yeah, he's got Mark Andrews. He's never going to bench him.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, my God. I love it. Oh, man. Anyway. All right. And then last up, we have the Real Americans versus the Running Fools. I'll start us off. After last week, I'm saying the reign of Rando is officially over. I don't ever want to talk about this trash-ass team again. As far as I'm concerned, they can cling to the edges of mediocrity for as long as they want. They can make, you know, all the waiver wire moves they want, but that's all they're going to be is, you know, sixth or fifth place if they're lucky. They're toast on the year. I'm done. I'm writing them off. I'm taking the fools in this one. Brian, tell us who you got. Take us away.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it. You know, I got to agree. As I said earlier, the running fools have just been, you know, trying to get their feet under them the last couple of weeks. And like a newborn deer, we're just, you know, we're staggering a little bit, but I think we're about to, you know, hit top speed here pretty soon. So I think I'm going to figuratively and maybe even literally expose Randy's little soup can ding dong this week so everyone can see just how weak and unimpressive it is. My running backs are better than his. My receivers are better than his. My tight end's better than his. My defense is better than his. And my kicker's better than his. He has Josh Allen, and I think he's going to pick apart the Steelers like nobody's business. But I also got Jalen Hurts, and I think he's going to do the same to Arizona. So I'm going to say it now. I'm going to win. And not only that, I think it's going to be the biggest blowout of the week, maybe even the season. It's not even going to be close.
Oh my God, I love it. He's taking the fools. You heard it here first, folks. That's amazing. I hope it happens, but I really do. That's incredible. All right, well, that's all we got, Brian. Thanks for hopping on. It was good talking to you, bud.
Oh, loved it. Thank you for having me.
All right, I'll see you, buddy.
Later.
And that's our show for the week. Best of luck to everyone except Tom. This has been a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'll be back next week. Until then, I'll see you at Froggies. Have you or a loved one been a victim of a freezing cold take by one of your close friends on a Super Fantasy Football show? Was your top fantasy star slandered in one of the episodes? Or maybe they attacked your team's chances on a given week? Perhaps they gave you a false hope about a player who turned out to be actual dog shit or cut entirely from the team? Or maybe someone just said something that was so stupidly wrong that they deserve to be embarrassed? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you may be entitled to emotional compensation in the form of public retaliation. If you remember hearing a take on a Super Fantasy Football show that was so insanely wrong that it could only be described as freezing cold, then text John the title of the episode, a timestamp when the take happened, as well as a few sentences describing why the take is so freezing cold, and you may be able to get retribution in a future episode. Again, text John the title of the episode, a timestamp of when the take took place, and a brief description of why it is cold, and you may hear that frozen take in a future episode of a Super Fantasy Football Show.